This has been witnessed by generations who have accompanied this painful path. Facing this truth, many in our Islamic nation not only flee from their responsibilities, but also flee from speaking the truth
and object to this.
But when you sit with them away from the cameras, they say, what can we do? Brothers and sisters, the sentence, what can we do, has become the basis of surrender or settlement or negotiation and the compromises that have come one after another. Everyone knows the truth. Everyone knows what justice is. But they do not bear their responsibilities, saying that they are unable to, and that they are weak, which is totally untrue. In any case, I do not want to talk today directly about responsibility and about what the Palestinians suffer from in the way of tribulations and occupation for the last 60 years. The difficult circumstances and painful circumstances surrounding the Palestinians, taking into consideration that the Haram al-Sharif is threatened every day by excavations carried out by the Zionists. Today we should speak about responsibility. Of course, today I will not say that we should all draw out our weapons and call on all Arab armies to invade Palestine and lift this historic oppression. Today, regarding with respect to the Palestinian people and many others, this is like a dream. However, there was once talk of a unified Arab strategy, and the Palestinians were told to wait for this unified strategy to regain your land. Wait for this unified Arab strategy. It was said, we will not fight. Because there was no unified Arab strategy due to the current situation of Arab states. The Lebanese and the Palestinians selected a different course, which we will talk about tonight. The Palestinians told the Islamic nation, they said, fine, if the nation and its armies and governments will not fight and their borders will not be open, then we will fight as Palestinians and adopt a strategy of resistance seriously. We have made sacrifices and are ready for sacrifices, and we are ready to make more sacrifices. However, you should stand with us and support us. This is what the Palestinian people said during the Aqsa Intifada with a loud voice after negotiations failed between Palestinians and Israelis at Camp David, and after the victory by the resistance in Lebanon in 2000.
The
Palestinians adopted this strategy and had many confrontations. We all remember during since 2000 until now what Palestinians have made in the way of sacrifices. The resistance in Lebanon experienced this strategy and followed this strategy ever since 1978. There was a Lebanese resistance made up of many diverse Lebanese factions, and they fought, receiving support from some groups, and the world denounced this support. But the Lebanese resistance, with Lebanese fighters, Lebanese blood, Lebanese sacrifices, expertise and will, and also support from our brothers, were able to liberate the biggest portion of occupied land from 1982 till 2000. The Palestinian resistance liberated Gaza. But let's talk frankly. If the Palestinians had received the support from the Ummah,
من تحرير في الحد الأدنى أراضي 67 الأراضي الفلسطينية المحتلة عام 67 الانتفاضة التي تخلى عنها العالم.
Intifada that was abandoned by the world was able to shake the Zionist entity and force the Israeli leaders to talk for the first time about independence We appreciate the Palestinian Intifada. This national jihadist Palestinian resistance strategy has succeeded while Arab armies protect themselves and their regimes.
والدعم المالي حتى في مرحلة المراحل نحن قلنا
at one point,
حتى لو لم تقدموا لهم السلاح
even if you do not give weapons to the Palestinians you should give money.
اليوم هذه استراتيجية المطروحة.
Today this is the strategy we are talking about.
عن قوى أو جيوش.
No one should talk about forces or armies that will fight on behalf of the Palestinians. The Palestinian people are competent enough and able enough to liberate their land. However, this people requires support and assistance because they are under siege economically, financially, in security. Today, the Islamic Ummah can do very much for the Palestinian people. At a minimum, the rulers should cease to lay siege to the Palestinians. They should lift this siege or help the Palestinians to lift this siege. Part of this siege that the Palestinians suffer from,
وهذا الحصار يجب أن يرفع والدعم يجب أن يقدم هل تعلمون أيها الإخوة والأخوات
support should be given.
أنا لا أريد أن أدخل الآن في رقم دقيق وإن كان الرقم الذي أعرفه عجيب غريب يعني لكن أقول لكم هناك آلاف المليارات من الدولارات
ودائع عربية في millions of dollars of Arab monies in American banks
بآلاف مش ألف مليار بآلاف مليارات الدولارات.
But thousands of billions of dollars are there. Meanwhile, in Palestine, people are dying of hunger from the siege of their wounds due to the lack of hospitals. The Palestinian people are suffering from many crises because of unemployment and the poor economic situation. This people is sacrificing their own blood. However, this money still is not spent on the Palestinians and is present in American banks. This political and financial support should be provided to the Palestinians in order to achieve this victory. The Islamic nation and governments should help the Palestinians overcome this crisis. And we call on our Palestinian brethren, and especially our brethren in Hamas and Fatah, they should control themselves and not get involved in armed confrontations. Governments in our region should not be happy about the siege of Gaza. Or say that we want to bring down a certain type of rule. Any Palestinian or faction, any loss incurred by a Palestinian faction is a loss for all. And they deserve support. We should support the Palestinians so that they do not give up the right of return and reject settlement outside Palestine. We do not want to see them melt away in other countries, as we have seen happen in Europe and America, Latin America. We have always demanded a reevaluation of our treatment of the Palestinians in Lebanon. If some people talk today about the dangers of a refugee camp in Lebanon, I would like to say the last type of treatment should be used is a military or security treatment. We should adopt a humanitarian treatment for these issues. Regarding the Palestinians, and I will end this portion on Palestine, after which I will discuss Iraq and Lebanon. Lebanon, I will discuss security in the presidential election. Regarding the Palestinians, I would like to warn against the dangers of the international conference called for by George Bush. The danger is that the American-Israeli plan is for Israel to receive normalization in exchange for nothing. Normalization with some Arab countries that have not established ties with Israel yet. And that this meeting will not achieve anything for Palestine. This is the true fear. Many people share this anxiety with us, especially with a impotent government such as that of Olmert. How can this government offer true compromises if he is unable to regarding Palestinian prisoners? Here, we should point out, in your name, and call on Arab states that intend to participate in this meeting, and particularly the leadership of Saudi Arabia. We call on them not, if the result of this meeting is going to be normalization without any other results to the interest of the, in the interest of the Palestinian people. Here I'm talking about realpolitik. We cannot see, we cannot see all of these benefits offered to Olmert and his government. Instead, the government of Olmert should be turned over to an international court to be tried for what they have done, for what it has done to the Palestinians and what it did to the Lebanese during the July War. Should Olmert and the Zionists be rewarded for committing massacres, rewarded with normalization and shaking their hands? Is this reasonable? This is what we are calling for. We also would like to draw everyone's attention. We should not put our heads in the sand. Brothers and sisters, the Arabs are talking about peace, and Israel is banging the drums of war in the region. When the Israeli aircraft carried out a raid on Syria, couldn't this have led to a Syrian reaction and then war? Recently it was mentioned there are three, before the Israeli attack, there are three armored units, Israeli armored units in the Golan. Why are they there? What are they readying themselves for? In Lebanon, every day there is a violation of Lebanese sovereignty. A few weeks ago, in the south, and Beirut and Bekaa Valley, we saw Israeli aircraft activity. What have the authorities here done about this? Have they asked their allies to pressure Israel in order to respect Lebanon's sovereignty? Since authority here is in the hand of the pro-sovereignty groups and pro-independence groups, is this part of a psychological war? Or is it a preparation for war? Brothers and sisters, Israel is speaking about peace and banging the drums of war and preparing for war. Here, we are talking about the arms of the resistance and things like that. This is what we should be remembering as we see the convening of this conference. Israel wants to impose its hegemony and conditions on the Palestinians and all countries of the region. Even this attack on Syria, I believe it was targeting, it was meant to shake the Syrian position before this conference, since the Syrian regime has exhibited resistance and commitment to its national rights. Don't be surprised of a Israeli-American coordination regarding this war, because this is Bush's plan for the region. It is not a plan for peace, it's a plan for war, just as in Iraq and Palestine and Lebanon last year. Here, now I will discuss briefly the Iraqi situation, followed by the Lebanese situation. Brothers and sisters, we have all seen the recent U.S. Senate decision to partition Iraq. It is non-compulsory. However, it would be silly for us to believe that it was a decision taken in isolation from Bush. We know when the Americans want to carry out a project, they prepare for it in terms of the media, in terms of psychological aspects. All of the problems of Palestine came from the Balfour Declaration. And now we have a non-binding decision by the U.S. Senate regarding the partition of Iraq, and this reveals the intentions, the true intentions. When we talk about the new Middle East, some people say this will be a new Middle East that enjoys democracy and sovereignty and non-intervention in our affairs, stability, economic prosperity. And we have seen all of these things in Iraq and what the Iraqis are suffering from regarding the U.S. occupation. Imagine, on television we can see there are millions of Iraqi displaced and people outside the country and displaced within Iraq. There are millions of Iraqis under the poverty line. They cannot find food for iftar. They receive food assistance. A country with the second biggest oil reserve in the world, possibly the first, the greatest, one of the biggest oil exporters in the world. Its people is displaced. People are poor and require food assistance. This is the model that the Americans are presenting to us. A people lacking food, medicine, security, stability. Where is the freedom in Iraq? Meanwhile, the Americans are continuing the destruction of Iraq. The most dangerous thing facing Iraq is that the Americans and the Zionists and Mossad are working on a spreading Sunni-Shiite strife and Sunni-Sunni fighting. They are also working on inter-Shiite fighting. This is the American project. Internecine fighting between Shiis, between Arabs and Kurds, Kurds and Turkmens. This is what we find in Iraq today. The greatest achievement of the Americans has been the Sunni-Sunni fighting in Anbar. This is what is happening in Iraq. Today on Jerusalem Day, the Imam Khomeini said that we should help all oppressed peoples, not just the Palestinians. Your victory over internal strife and your resistance is the only option. Your cooperation is the only way to save Iraq and the region. Last July, during the war, the resistance defeated the plan for a new Middle East. The Iraqi people should defeat the new Middle East project from the east, just as we did from the west, and fight against the plan to partition Iraq. We don't know where, how this will end, if such a thing takes place. To discuss, I will now discuss Lebanon. We need to be a little bit accurate here. We need to understand each other. The coming days involve considerable responsibility. Excuse me for this speech. I would like to benefit from the time available today and discuss the coming situation. Regarding the security situation, recently we have seen assassinations, the last one of MP Antoine Ghanem. It's become customary for when there is an assassination of this type one group immediately accuses Syria. Some of them accuse or hold the allies of Syria responsible. When you ask them for proof, they say openly, this is a political analysis and we don't have any such facts, judicial or security facts. Then the opposition feels embarrassed. Statements of denunciation are issued. Then some of the philosophers of 14 March come out and say that their proof that Syria is doing the killing is that it's unreasonable for someone in 14 March to want to kill its leaders. I say, yes, that's true. It's unreasonable. It's unnatural. It's not even reasonable. I don't want to defend Syria or its allies, but since we're talking about a political reading and a political analysis here, I don't want to talk about a hypothesis. I want to talk about a conviction and a vision and a vision. And I want Lebanese and the leaders of 14 March and their followers and the families of the martyrs who were killed unjustly in these explosions to think about this a bit, since we're talking about a political analysis here. I don't say that the 14 March is killing its leaders, but I say that the Israelis are the ones who are killing personalities from 14 March. If someone from 14 March is surprised by this, that would be strange. Are you their brothers or allies? No. If you're not their allies, not the allies of Israel or their friends, so what is the objection for Israel to kill these people? The Israeli Zionists have killed Jews in various parts of the world. their co-religionists in order to force them to emigrate to Palestine, because the Zionist project required these killings to take place. The Jews were also subject to murder by the Zionists. Israel has a political project in Lebanon, and this serves this project. If blood should be spilled for the sake of the Israeli project is from the 14 March group, so be it. A war was waged against the resistance. It doesn't matter. There's no difference between Lebanese when it comes to the Israeli project. This is what the Israelis are doing. The Americans might know about it, and I think this, but the hand that is killing is an Israeli one. You'll say to me, this is a reading, a political reading of the situation. Let me just take one example. The assassination of MP Gibran Tweni and Pierre Jmeil and Antoine Ghanem. There's something common to be observed here. Tweni was killed on the day or the day before of the meeting of the Security Council to approve the International Court. Pierre Jmeil was killed on the day that the Security Council approved the bylaws of this court. The third assassination, Antoine Ghanem, that killing took place when the Security Council was meeting to discuss the International Court issue. And the Americans are complaining about the slowness of this court process. What kind of coincidence is this? Syria is the biggest country to suffer from these killings. They would kill Tweni and Jmeil and Ghanem on the days at the times in which the Security Council is meeting regarding the court. Who would do such a thing? Israel and America would do such a thing. In Lebanon, the families of the martyrs have an interest in revealing these killers. But Israel and America have a different interest. Their interest in the International Court is to bring down an Arab regime, the last Arab regime that believes in resistance, and impose a settlement regarding the Arab-Israeli conflict. I don't accuse the families of martyrs who want this International Court. You should observe where these three killings took place. All of the security bodies are unanimous that these were very professional operations, and that people who carried them out enjoyed a high level of information and intelligence. Don't the Israelis have a long-standing intelligence presence and expertise? Doesn't Israel have an interest in carrying out these assassinations in Lebanon? Because Israel's project for Lebanon is civil strife, is for Lebanese to fight each other. Israel sees the resistance every day. Every day there is calm, Israel believes that the resistance is becoming stronger. But when there is civil strife, the resistance will be busy with the domestic situation. Israel sees the resistance, has a strategic anxiety about the resistance, because the resistance is able to defend Lebanon and defeat Israel's aspirations and dreams in Lebanon. Therefore, Israel wants to wage a war of attrition against the resistance and involve it in domestic strife and fighting. It's the biggest beneficiary. Israel is the biggest beneficiary of civil strife in Lebanon, just as in Palestine. The Zionist occupation is the biggest beneficiary of Palestinian infighting. Some people told me that we will never be involved in civil strife. If they kill us, people in our ranks, we will take revenge from Israel, not from Lebanese. And if they kill us, people will rally around us. People on our side should have been killed. The accusations about us were ready. Today, during Ramadan, there are families in prison. There are people, officers, in Lebanese prisons today. They have been imprisoned, and no evidence has been proven regarding their case. And the UN head of the legislative committee says that they are innocent and have no connection to the case. Today I call on the Lebanese judiciary to examine its conscience and remember that it should act responsibly, because these people were imprisoned because of political pressures. In any case, one of the groups in Lebanon is always ready to make accusations whenever there is a killing. They launch their accusations. It was said that the International Court would stop the assassinations, but they have not. And even if it is formed, as long as the people who want this killing in Lebanon to take place . As long as the true killer will continue, even if this court is formed. Now I will talk about the presidential election. Let's move away from the issue of defending Syria. I say that Israel is the body responsible for these killings in Lebanon. And the Lebanese must all prepare themselves based on this. They should not make mistakes about this. And not make miscalculations and take this country to where Israel wants, which is killing. Finally, the presidential election in Lebanon regarding the assassination of MP Antoine Ghanem. There's another political indicator. After the initiative by Speaker Nabih Berri was launched and the opposition approved it, it was in fact a big compromise by the opposition, and the opposition has been making compromise after compromise, not out of weakness. We are not weak. However, because we are keen about the future of this country and its stability, we abandoned our demand for a national unity government. And a consensus president based on a two-thirds quorum. The opposition has also made another compromise, even in Speaker Birri's initiative. The opposition accepted negotiating on a consensus president, while the ruling group, 14 March, did not give up their condition of a two-thirds quorum. We said, we will give up the national unity government in return for you giving up the two-thirds quorum. And they did not give up this demand. All day, every day, they threaten us with the 50% plus one quorum. They say that the opposition wants to take this one weapon away from us. Speaker Nabih Berri has talked about a consensus president, and the opposition is supporting this initiative. How can we be more positive? This is not our weakness. It reflects our determination to see the country united and stable, and we want to reach the desired result. Who has an interest in seeing that Lebanon does not have a consensus president? Some people say Syria. I guarantee that Syria will accept a consensus president. The party that does not have an interest, that has an interest in